Today on The Journey.
What you say, what you do, your attitude, what you think, the person you are bubbles forth from your heart. Guard your heart above all else. How do we do that? How do we guard our heart?
Spiritual sentry duty is the obligation of every dad. The godly father will be found at the gates of his and his children's hearts, watching and warning. On today's broadcast, Ron Moore equips dads for those long days and nights walking the spiritual ramparts. Before that, I want to let you know about Ron's book, Worn Out by Obedience. Its insightful reflections offer warning, grace, and strength for the spiritually weary, and it's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Listen for the details later in the program. Now here's Ron with the message, Taking a Stand on the Journey.
Charlie Shedd is a prolific writer, speaker, and many years ago when he was very young, he started speaking on family. And he titled his first series, How to Raise Your Children. And then he had children. He put away that series for a while, but when he brought it out, he retitled it, Some Suggestions to Parents. Two more children, and several years later, he only occasionally gave this series, but when he did, the title now was Feeble Hints to Fellow Strugglers. More children, and years later, he hardly ever gave these talks. But the very few times he did, he turned the title into a question. Anyone out there have any words of wisdom? On this beautiful Father's Day, I stand before you not as a father who has all the answers. I don't. I stand before you not as a father who has the perfect balance of vocation and fatherhood. I haven't. But it's my privilege to direct our thoughts to the words of the perfect Father, the Heavenly Father, as he speaks to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. As you're turning there, just let me set the context. Paul is just about to finish his letter. These are his concluding remarks. He is saying that after he goes to Macedonia, he is going to try to visit the saints in Corinth. He says that when Timothy comes, treat him well. He says Apollos is going to come and visit you soon. And then abruptly, almost out of context, Paul gives us these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. And I believe in these verses we find the ingredients that must make up the man, the father, the husband, the grandfather in our culture and our world today. Listen to these words. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all you do be done in love. Those words are going to serve as our outline. Let's go through these verses. First, the man who follows Jesus Christ, the father who wants to be a godly father, the husband who wants to be a godly husband, the grandfather who wants to serve as a model, must stand on guard. Here is the picture of a man standing at attention. His senses are fine-tuned. There are certain things he is watching for. There are certain things he is listening for. And like a soldier on night patrol, here is a man who is not flippant and not negligent about his responsibility, about his assignment. Lives are at stake. People are depending on him. His guard must never be down. Now, if we're going to stand our guard and if we're going to take our stand, men, there are some particular areas of our life that we have to protect. First one is this. We must guard our eyes. What do you watch when no one else is watching? What do you read when no one else is there? What magazines do you look at when you are alone? In our culture, sex sells, so you don't have to go very far to find things trying to break through the gates of your eyes. Job chapter 31, verse 1, Job said this, "I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl." Men, have you made that covenant with your eyes? Martin Luther was fond of saying, "You can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest in your hair." Are you doing those things to keep the bird of lust from building a nest in your hair? Perhaps your focus is on material things. Maybe David was struggling in this area when he wrote in Psalm 119, verse 37, "O Lord, turn my eyes from worthless things. Turn my eyes from things that don't count, make no difference for eternity. Turn my eyes toward you. Stand guard at the gate of your eyes." We're also, men, going to have to stand guard at the gate of our mouth. What we say makes a difference. For the positive, for the negative. Building up or tearing down. Saying what is the truth or saying what is a lie. Again, David's prayer in Psalm 141, verse 3, David said, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24, "Put away perversity from my mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from my lips." Guard what you say. Helmut Thielicke was a great German theologian and pastor who lived during the time of Hitler and who lived with integrity. And he said this, men, about guarding your lips. "The avoidance of one small fib may be a stronger confession of faith than a whole Christian philosophy championed in lengthy, forceful discussion." Stand guard over your mouth. Your eyes, your mouth, your heart. Stand guard at the gate of your heart. And heart, Scripture, is that central part of the person which represents the mind, the emotion, the will, what we think, what we feel, what we do. And that's why the writer of the Proverb 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." How do we do that? How do we guard our heart? Let me give you two things. First of all, we read the Word of God. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. "How can a young man keep his way pure?" That's the question. Here's the answer. "By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Don't let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Men, are you treasuring the Word of God in your heart? Are you reading the Word of God? Are you meditating on the Word of God? Are you memorizing the Word of God? That's how you keep your way pure. You take the Word of God seriously. Secondly, we have to spend time in prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will" what? "Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We must stand guard at the door of our hearts. We must stand on guard at the door of our homes. Are we spiritually alert, men, in our homes? Are we modeling what it means to be a follower of Christ? Are we leading our family in worship? Do we know where our wives are spiritually and how we can help them? Do we know where our children are spiritually? Do you know what books they're reading? Do you know what magazines they are looking at? Do you know what programs and movies they are watching? Any contrast in the values? Or do you know? Christ said this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 43, Be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert, would not have allowed the house to be broken into. Men, are you on the alert? Are you guarding your heart? Are you guarding your home? Secondly, the father who is following Jesus Christ stands firm in the faith. Here's a picture of a man who stands firm in his convictions. Here's a picture of a person who will not compromise what he knows to be true. New Testament writer James says a double-minded man, or a man with divided allegiance, is unstable in all his ways. But here is a man with undivided allegiance, his focus on the one he follows. We have a tremendous example of this recorded in Scripture, the book of Daniel. If you have your Bibles, turn there to Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel, here's a scenario. Whoever refused to bow down before the image of the king Nebuchadnezzar was sentenced to death, thrown into the fiery furnace. Three young Jewish men refused to bow. And then we read in Daniel chapter 3, then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar responded to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now I'm going to give you one more chance. If you're ready, at the moment you hear all the music, fall down and worship the image I've made. But if you will not worship, you will immediately be cast in the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of its hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we don't need a lot of time to think about what we're going to do. O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer concerning this matter. And then verse 17, if it be so, our God, who is able to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if He does not, if He chooses not to do that, if it is in His will not to save us this time, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. We will not bow. Men, fathers, husbands, anything you are bowing before, job, position, anything that is causing you to compromise, are you honest? Are you a man of integrity? Are you a man of conviction? You say, Moore, you don't understand. You work in a church all week long. I work in the office. And there are things I have to do in my job, and everyone else is doing it. And if I'm going to stay with them, I have to do it. No ifs, ands, or buts. And you're right. Maybe I don't understand. But then, I didn't write the book. And the father who wrote the book does understand everything you're going through. Even before you went through it, he knew about it. And he demands no compromise in any area of your life. So not as your judge, but simply as a proclaimer of the truth, let me ask you again, are you a man of conviction, standing firm in your faith? Do you say in your heart, no matter what, I won't bow, or hey, everyone else is doing it, I gotta survive? Thirdly, if you're gonna stand for Jesus Christ, you must stand courageously. Be men of courage. This has been the call for God's man from the very beginning. Joshua chapter 31, verse 6, the Lord's charge to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not tremble. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. David, the father, giving these last words to his son Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 2 says this, Solomon, be strong. Show yourself to be a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in all His ways. A man who is standing firm in the faith, who is acting courageously, is doing that because God's giving him the strength to do it. And if he's doing that, he is developing as a follower of Jesus Christ. One more thing regarding acting like a man here. Remember, we're developing as followers of Jesus Christ. Not only is he our Savior, he is our model. And he is the ultimate servant leader. That's our model. That's what it means to act like a man. Fourthly, Paul says, if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, be strong. Stand strong. The verb is actually in the passive voice. Be strengthened. You and I cannot be strong in and of ourselves. We're not capable of it. We can't do it. We will fall every time if we depend upon our own strength. We need to go someplace to be strengthened. I can relate to these words of Amy Carmichael. God, harden me against myself, the coward with pathetic voice, who craves for ease and rest and joy, myself, arch traitor to myself, my hollowest friend, my deadliest foe, my clog, whatever road I go. We need to be strong. We need to be strengthened. Where do we go to do that? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14, Paul says this, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, not before anything else, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And when I bow my knees, here's my request, that He would strengthen you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with the power through His Holy Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you may be rooted, grounded in love, that you may be strong, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That's what it means to be strengthened. That's what it means to be strong. If you're going to be strong, that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's Him living within us who gives us strength. Strength to obey, strength to do what's right, strength to control the desires of our fleshly heart, strength to make the tough choices, strength to lead our families the way God wants us to lead our families, to guard our hearts and our home. We're going to pull it off, men. The Holy Spirit is our only hope to do it. Finally, Paul says, let all you do be done in love. Stand in love. This is the thread that ties it all together. When the Corinthians heard this statement, let all you do be done in love, it was not anything fuzzy. It was not anything flippant like we might think of today when we think of love. Remember, this is the first letter to the Corinthians. And they had just read chapter 13. And so when Paul said, let all you do be done in love, then they knew Paul was saying, let all you do be done in patience. Let all you do be done in kindness. For love is patient, love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Let all you do be done in love. Every action, every reaction, Let love be the motivation, the driving force of your life. To bring that to our homes, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That is self-sacrificing love. That is a love of a servant leader. And very practically, men, what are you doing in your homes to demonstrate to your wife that you love them with a self-sacrificing love? Are you serving them? Are you spending time with them? I heard a story about an old farmer in Oklahoma. He and his wife were lying in bed one night and a tornado came, ripped off the roof and sucked them right out of the house as they were lying in their bed. And the wife started crying. The husband said, "Get yourself together. This is no time to cry." And she said, "I can't help it. I'm so happy. This is the first time we've been out together in years." It's just a little thing. But self-sacrificing love starts when we demonstrate to our wives that we're willing to sacrifice other things in our life to spend time with them. One more verse. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12 from the Phillips translation. Men, when do we start? How much time do we have? How urgent is this? Paul says the present time is of the highest importance. It's time to wake up to reality. The night is nearly over. The day is almost dawn. Let us therefore fling away the things that men do in the dark and let us arm ourselves for the fight of the day. Let us be Christ's men from head to foot. It's urgent. We must start now because we don't have much time.
And please stay tuned. Ron will return with a sample of his new podcast, Fresh Faith, just ahead. Do you desire to turn the corner in your walk with Jesus? If so, maybe you don't know where to start. You feel held back by the past, or maybe you're deeply scarred by sin. Well, King David, the man after God's own heart, experienced this very thing. In Ron Moore's book, Worn Out by Obedience, David is presented as a spiritual mentor. He's both flawed and on fire. He's the person you are and the person you want to be. In Worn Out by Obedience, you'll discover how God often molds your heart, like King David's, in seasons of brokenness, loneliness, and disappointment, sometimes even in your waywardness. Worn Out by Obedience is published by Moody Press and can be yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a sample of his question and answer podcast called Fresh Faith.
All right, our second question is in reference to Acts 8, verses 14 through 17. And the question says, Peter and John went to Samaria to lay hands on the people to receive the Holy Spirit. Why did that need to happen? Doesn't it happen immediately after believing?
When you hear a question like that, by this is a great question. There are two points of Bible study methods that we need to think about. Number one, when you look at something in Scripture, is it normative? Does it happen over and over and over again? Laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit, that's not normative throughout Scripture. The other one is, when you have a passage that's unclear, you always interpret it by passages that are clear. So here you have, my goodness, does this happen? Do people lay hands on and you receive the Holy Spirit? But then you go back to the Ephesians passage and many others, and we're told that as soon as you trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you.
We hope you'll look for the online insights Ron shares in the Fresh Faith podcast. It's at BibleChapel.org under the Resources link on our front page. And don't forget to order your copy of Ron's encouraging book, Worn Out by Obedience. If you're spiritually weary, discouraged, or exhausted, Worn Out by Obedience will help you to keep going. or Start Moving. It's published by Moody Press and is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Ross Draver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, we ask that you tell your friends and family about our program. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on The Journey.